This is our third week in Proverbs, gaining wisdom from Proverbs. I don't know exactly why this is the case for me personally, but I've been reading the Proverbs in a different translation than I'm used to, and I just feel like a lot of them round out the gaps of what I used to think Proverbs would say. And I feel like it's been helpful to me to get maybe a more blunt translation of these Proverbs, because as I read them, I'm like, oh, ouch, that kind of hurts. I wish it wasn't said so straightforward. I wish I could, you know, avoid its pointed nature. This is one of those messages that has been hard even on myself. And so I hope you don't get this feeling that I'm coming in here today to tell you all, like, you all need to do this. Because it's mainly something that God has been trying to get me to do. And so hopefully you benefit from what I also needed to hear from Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot of wisdom, lots of sayings that help you through life. We'll cover those a couple more next week and the week after. There's a lot in there about taking care of finances, you know, kind of contracts you should or should not avoid. There's a lot of things in there about violence, about anger, about how you treat and react to other people. Even as we read in Proverbs 17, you saw a whole lot of a wide array of wisdom of behavior you should be doing, and then the opposite of that behavior you should be doing, the behavior you should be avoiding. A lot of our concepts as Christians and believers is, you know, looking at all of these outward actions, the sin that we struggle with as things that we do, or you know, the way we treat people, or the reactions, or, you know, that sinful habit we just can't stop. But as I read Proverbs, and unfortunately this is all Proverbs, not just the Proverbs that we were reading for this week, is that Proverbs focuses a whole lot on the things that come out of your mouth. Proverbs says a lot about the words that we say. And I wish it were just a section or a particular thing that Proverbs was talking about, because I think most of us are okay with the fact that Proverbs tells us we should tell the truth and not lie. But unfortunately, that's not the only wisdom that Proverbs gives us in regards to the words that come out of our mouth. So today we're going to try and survey Proverbs 13 through 17 in regards to, what does Proverbs teach us about the words that we say? Before we start, I don't always do this, but I'm going to go ahead and pray, because I feel like I need help in order to accurately convey what Proverbs is trying to teach us in regards to what we say. Dear Father, we come to you today knowing that the word you have for us might not be easy for us to hear. And it for sure is not easy for us to live out, and we ask for a heart that is tuned to you so that we will hear you, that we would then respond and do what you have asked us to do. We pray that you'd help me communicate as clearly as possible the principles of speech that you have laid out for us in Proverbs, so that we would be your children who speak well in a world where speaking happens all around us and not much of it is the wisdom from you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading today was Proverbs 17, because that's the Proverbs that we would be reading today, right? So hopefully you've been catching on to that. If you have fallen behind, it's not too late. Proverbs chapters are generally like 30 verses, somewhere around there, you know, 28 or so verses long. And so it's not hard to catch up. And it's not filled with a whole bunch of names. It's not genealogy. So if you're a little bit behind, don't worry about it. Catch up. Also, there's nothing to say that if you read Proverbs a little bit into February, you're a bad Christian. So I would just encourage you, as we continue through this series, to be reading and meditating on the Proverbs. As you think about your life, your day-to-day life, not your life as a whole, but your day-to-day life, how many times do you interact with words? A lot, right? Almost nonstop. Can you think of a time of your day, aside from when you're sleeping, that you're not interacting with words? Because words are not just things being said to us, but things that we read, things that we think, and the things we want to say to other people. Now, I suppose there are probably some hobbies, and I think more specifically for some of us men, there are times where we're not really thinking much, if at all. And so there might be pockets of our days where we're not really thinking about words. But as you go through your day-to-day life, you interact with words, whether they're internal words that you're thinking, whether they're words that you're reading, or words that you are hearing. We interact with words and choose to communicate with words a vast majority of our day. And I think this might be one of the reasons why Proverbs talks so much about the words that we say and the words that we think and the words that we hear. The other thing is that this was written to a prince, and a king is expected to communicate with his people a lot. He also has to deal with people who are angry at him, who are trying to deceive him, who want to get something out of him. And so Solomon is giving this advice, but as we've come to know, this advice is not just for those of us who are going to be in some form of leadership, but that all of these proverbs are wisdom that we would all do well to hear. Today, I think I have only three things that I believe Proverbs is thematically trying to teach us through Proverbs 13 through 17. And obviously, as you've read previous chapters, these same themes will be evident. And also, as we continue to read Proverbs, these themes will become evident as well. But we're only going to take this 1 week and take these Proverbs specifically to talk about it. The first thing that I think Proverbs wants us to understand, and I did alliterate all of these, all right, so we'll see if I can remember them, is that we need to know when to use our words. When do we use our words? This is the first lesson that Proverbs is trying to teach us, is that there is a time to speak, but there are many times that you should not. Proverbs 15, verse 28, says that the mind of the righteous person, this person that's on this path towards wisdom, thinks before answering, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things. Now we see that word evil things, and we're like, oh, you know, really wicked people just say really evil things. Well, that's not the contrast that Solomon's drawing here. The contrast is that the mind of a righteous person who is on the path towards wisdom, towards life with God, they think before they talk. But those who are not on the path of wisdom, on the path towards life with God, don't think. They just blurt it out. And what they say is not beneficial things. There is a time for us to speak. There's a time for us to use words, whether they be written or spoken. But a wise person knows when it is not time to speak. Proverbs 17, verse 27 and 28, which we read at the end of 17, is that the one who has knowledge, again, the person who is wise, restrains his words, and the one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. See, we see a repetitive parallelism there. So basically, someone who is wise holds some of his words from being spoken, and he keeps a cool head. That is a person who is full of understanding, who is wise. What's the contrast? Well, it's not really even a contrast, but we're used to seeing, but a fool does this. It says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. We're used to seeing a fool does not restrain his words. He says whatever's on his mind. And that's definitely what is taught in Proverbs, that foolish people make known their displeasure. They blurt out evil things. They speak whatever they want. They don't think about what they're saying. But here, Solomon is saying, look, even foolish people, if they learn to not talk when they're not supposed to, everyone will think that they're wise. Proverbs is teaching us the time, that there is a time to speak, because obviously the rest of these principles are all about what you should say and when you should say them and how you should say them. But there is an important lesson for us to know that there's a time for us to not speak. There's a time for us to not text. There's a time for us not to post. There's a time for us to not call someone on the phone and rant and rave about X, Y, and Z. The Bible puts a lot of importance and benefits on being silent. If you ever want to, just like either use Strong's Concordance or Google. Just the techie way to do Strong's Concordance word studies now. Google silent in the Bible and read all of the verses. There are some that are saying that you should not remain silent. There are some that says that you should not remain silent and speak out. But the vast majority of the passages that the Bible talks about being silent is telling you to stop and pause and think and meditate on God. Be still and know that I am God. We've learned from the story of Elijah that God said, hey, I'm going to come meet with you. And then there were all these like loud, boisterous things, right? And the narrator says, God wasn't in the thunder. God wasn't in the earthquake. God wasn't in the fire. And then comes this like little whisper. And that's how God showed up. If we do not learn to see a time when being silent, both in our minds and with our mouths and with our fingers, we will miss out on knowing God and knowing what he wants us to learn. It's also important for us to understand that even when it is time to speak, that sometimes you need to take some time to not speak before you speak. Says that the mind of the righteous person thinks before answering. So in here, he's saying this is a time when you do talk. This is a time when you need to tell somebody something, either because they're doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or to teach them how to do something good so that they understand, or to be able to stand up for justice. But instead of being like the mouth of a wicked person and just blurting out whatever is in your head, you stop first and think, and we'll see what you're supposed to be thinking about with the next two principles. Before you speak, you should be silent. I think we would all do well if we would just put that into practice. I would not imagine, it would be a stretch of an imagination, that our relationships with our spouses would be better if we learned to be silent before we speak. I would imagine our relationships with our children would probably also be better if we learned to be silent before we speak. We'd probably have a better relationship with our coworkers, our bosses. We might even have a better relationship with the internal person of who we are if we learn to be silent before we speak. And to use that silence not just to create a dramatic effect, not to use it as a punishment, but to use it to get our minds in line with God on this path of wisdom that leads to life with God. Proverbs teaches us that there is a time, a when, to use our words. But even when we use our words, we would do well to be silent before we speak. So then, the second principle is the what we speak. Proverbs is teaching us when is a time to speak and what is the content of what we should speak. I have 3 pages of references from these chapters in Proverbs, and we're obviously not going to cover them all. But as you breeze through Proverbs 13 through 17, probably in the pew as you're listening, which would be great, you'll see a couple different things come up as far as what are we supposed to speak. The first thing that we are supposed to speak is the truth. It's supposed to be honesty. It is supposed to be the facts that God has given to us, the wisdom that we have gained from living a life on this path of wisdom. We are to tell people the truth. Like I said at the beginning, most of us are pretty okay with that. I would hope. I hope I don't have a church full of people that are really okay with lying or bending the truth, right? Okay, good. Most of us are fine with being told to speak the truth. But then Proverbs has this knack of like taking something that we're really okay with and then telling us how like we think we're doing that and we're actually doing something we're not supposed to do. In these chapters, Proverbs talks a lot about gossiping. We might be telling the truth, but it is something that is beneficial. See, we're cool with telling the truth, but when we want to tell the truth or our perceived truth about an individual or what that person has done, and we just start repeating it to each other. Proverbs 17 says something about that, about the one that repeats an offense causes a division between close friends. Even if it is the truth, it can lead to undesirable results. It can be destructive. We need to learn to be able to tell the truth in a wise way. Proverbs 17 says that the person who covers an offense in love promotes unity, or something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing, forgive me. But the one that repeats it causes division and destruction. We need to tell the truth, but we also need to know when what truth needs to be spoken. See how those principles work together? We can say all sorts of true stuff to each other. I can talk about how this person did something. I can talk about how this person said something to me. I can talk about how this made me feel, and it's all true. But not in every time does all of that truth need to be spoken to everyone that is around. See, now it's all complicated, right? We're all fine with, like, yeah, you should tell the truth. But we all know that there are times where we don't need to say things that might even be truthful, but they're not going to be helpful. Again, I think our relationships with our spouses and our children and our coworkers and our neighbors would all benefit from us understanding that telling the truth doesn't mean always telling all of the truth of every situation. And not, what I'm not saying is we should leave those things out and lie about them. Proverbs says that a lying tongue is an abomination, detestable to God. But what we do need to know is that there is a wise way to tell the truth when it is time to tell the truth. So let me give you some hypothetical situations, right? So let's say you're in an argument with your spouse, right? And your spouse did say that they were going to do a job. And they didn't do it. They forgot about it or something or other. You get in an argument about said thing. Maybe it's trash or dishes or something. And it would be truthful for you to say, you said this morning at 6:42 that you were going to do it. I come home and it's not done. Anyone disagree that that would be a truthful evaluation of the situation? But would that be a wise way to tell that? I mean, I don't know your spouse. That is not a good idea in our house. Neither one of us would take that very, very well. We need to speak the truth, and we need to tell people the things about the path of wisdom. But just as we learned in the when, there is a time to withhold and a time to filter your words and learn that maybe this is a situation where I just don't need to say anything. Maybe I can just deal with it, right? We need to learn to speak the truth in love, as the New Testament authors would tell us to do. And sometimes that means, like, although we know that there's this, I'm right, and it's the truth, matter-of-factly so, that does not always going to be what we need to be saying. We need to tell the truth to each other and to ourselves and to other people who are around us. But even in Proverbs, I don't have the reference, I think it was before Proverbs 13, talks about not answering a fool according to his folly, and then later says that you are okay to answer a fool according to his folly. Like, you can give someone an answer they deserve, but there are other times that you don't give people an answer that they deserve. Instead, you withhold. We need to take that same approach to life. So when we know it is time to speak, first, we be silent and we think. And we ask, first of all, is this even true? Like, I know I'm thinking it, but is it true? Is it in line with the truth of Scripture? Or am I just saying, this is how it is, and I am the author of truth? Is this true? And then, does it still need to be spoken? Is it going to be a help? Will it build understanding? Is this person in a frame of mind that they will hear something that might be instructive? Or is this person not actively in a frame of mind in which to receive instruction? Because that's exactly what Proverbs was teaching us about talking to foolish people. This person has absolutely no desire to hear the truth. They're not in a frame of mind to hear anything that you're saying as anything but an attack. You're probably better off not telling them this material, this teaching stuff that you think you need to say. However, if it would be beneficial to give them a path of instruction to get them on the path of wisdom, then you speak the truth in love. Being truthful seems so simple until you understand that there are many ways we can speak things that are true, but speak them in a way that destroy instead of heal. Which leads into our third principle. Proverbs teaches us not only that there is a time, a when to speak, and it's not only a specific truth, but what needs to be spoken, but then it talks about the way in which we speak it. This, I think, is probably the largest theme in Proverbs. Solomon knows that we interact with words a lot. We say a lot of words, we think a lot of words, and we hear a lot of words. And hopefully those things kind of balance. Hopefully we're not the ones that do all of the speaking or a person that does all of the listening. Hopefully we learn to strike a balance. But Solomon knows that we interact with words a lot. We will be using our mouths a lot, He didn't know we would be texting them a lot. But knowing that we will find the time, even if we find the wrong time, even if we know what we're going to say, even if it's the wrong thing to say, Solomon knows that we will say and write and think a lot of words. And so he spends a lot of time writing Proverbs about the way in which we speak them, the tone in which we speak them. So let's go to, if you're following, that's fine. If you're just listening, that's also fine. But Proverbs 11, verse 9 says, "With his mouth, the ungodly, the person on this path of wickedness, destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous are rescued. When the righteous thrive, a city rejoices, and when the wicked die, there is joyful shouting. A city is built up by the blessing of the upright, but it is torn down by the mouth of the wicked. Whoever shows contempt for his neighbor lacks sense, but a man with understanding keeps silent. A gossip goes around revealing a secret, but a trustworthy person keeps a confidence. Without guidance, people fall, but with many counselors, there is deliverance." Here we see, and we'll continue to see, that Solomon says that with your mouth, you can destroy, or you can help something thrive. The ungodly destroys his neighbors with his words. But a wise person uses his words to help people thrive. In verse 10, it says, "When the righteous thrive, a city rejoices." But a city is built up by the blessing of the upright, but is torn down by the mouth of the wicked. Seeing the contrast? People who don't use silence before they speak and know that what they're going to speak is the truth in the right time will end up destroying people with what they say. But a person who follows these first two principles can help other people thrive and grow. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 5, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but guidance from the wicked leads to deceit. The words of the wicked are a deadly ambush, but the speech of the upright rescues them from the deadly ambush." See? Solomon again says that our words have the power of life and death, just as the paths of wisdom and folly. See how Solomon is writing these proverbs from a perspective. You got two choices. You can either take the path of wisdom that leads to life, or you can take the path of foolishness, which leads to death. And if you're on the path of foolishness, you will speak destroying words to one another. You will be harsh. You will be contrary. You will be deceitful, tricking people into hearing, into doing things because they like what you're hearing, or you will put them down by telling them things that you should not be telling them. Chapter 12, verse 16 says, "A fool's displeasure is known at once, and whoever ignores an insult is sensible. Whoever speaks the truth declares what is right, but a false witness speaks deceit. There is one who speaks rashly like a piercing sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue only for a moment. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. No disaster overcomes the righteous, but the wicked are full of misery. Lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are his delight." We see that Proverbs not only tells us that there's a time to be silent and a time to speak, but when we do choose to speak, that there is the right truth that needs to be spoken. But then we also see the way that we say it matters. So it's not just the timing, it's not just the content, but also the tone that matters. I think probably the one that's most readily well known for all of us would be Proverbs 15, Verse 1 says, a gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge attractive, but the mouth of the fools blurt out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, observing the wicked and the good. The tongue that heals is a tree of life, but a devious tongue breaks the spirit. Think about those verses 3 and 4. Sorry, just 4. The tongue that heals, one that speaks truth in the right time and in the right tone, heals like the tree of life. The tree that we were sent away from. A well-spoken word to someone is like giving them a piece of fruit from the tree of life. In contrast, a devious tongue breaks the spirit. A devious tongue next to the tree of life. What does that sound like? Right, the serpent. We all know about snake tongues. The gross. And this is exactly what Solomon is trying to get us to see, is that the path of foolishness is like the path that the serpent chose to try and lead Adam and Eve down. A devious tongue breaks the spirit. It kills. It brings death. In the moment, it seems great. But in the end, it ends up killing you. We talked about that last week. And what Solomon says is, your words are like the tree of life if you speak them well. If you watch the words that come out of your mouth or out of your fingers, you can provide healing to other people. A type of healing that can only be described as being from the tree of life. I don't know. I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm going to say this for myself, that I know that more words that come out of my mouth are not healing. That more words out of my mouth are the kind that break spirits. And when we do that, when we fail to live out these principles that Proverbs is teaching us about the words that come out of our mouths, we choose to jump off the path of wisdom for foolishness. Maybe because it's easier. Maybe because we want to look good. But in the end, it's not going to provide healing for another person. It's not going to help them. And it's only going to lead to your own spiritual detriment. So what's the alternative? Chapter 15, verse 7 says that the lips of the wise broadcast knowledge, but not so the heart of fools. And then at the end of 15, it says again, the mind of the righteous person thinks before answering, but the mouth of the wicked blurts out evil things. We have the opportunity to help people thrive, be healed, and choose the path of life simply by the things that come out of our mouth or the things that we write. Proverbs 16 talks about a ruler and how he should speak. And what he should do. Verse 10 says God's verdict, his judgment, his, you know, the king is supposed to deal out justice as God would, is on the lips of a king. His mouth should not give unfair judgment. Honest balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his concern. Wicked behavior is detestable to kings, since a throne is established through righteousness. Righteous lips are a king's delight, and he loves one who speaks honestly. Then in verse 20, the one who understands a matter finds success. The one who trusts in the Lord will be happy. Anyone with a wise heart is called discerning. And pleasant speech, a well-spoken word, increases learning. Insight, wisdom, is a fountain of life for its possessor. But the discipline of fools is folly. The heart of a wise man instructs his mouth. See that? A heart of a wise person. During that moment where you're silent before you speak, the heart of a wise person instructs. It tells its mouth what to say. It adds learning to his speech. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the taste and health to the body. But a worthless person digs up evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. A contrary person spreads conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. We have the opportunity to do one of two things with the words that we say. We can destroy, we can tear down, we can cause death with our words, either through deceit, through lying, or through just poorly spoken words. We can harm other people or harm ourselves. Or we could choose instead to be silent before we speak, to think about what we're going to say. Is it true? And does this truth need to be spoken now? And if I'm going to say it because it should be spoken now, am I going to say it in a tone that is helpful and one that heals? Obviously, one seems a whole lot better than the other, right? On paper, we know exactly which one we're supposed to choose. So then the question is, how do we do it? Or do we do it? Do we want to do it? Oof. We have to choose. Are we going to be people of wisdom to think before we speak and then say things in a way that helps? Or are we going to just be like the foolish person that lets anything come out of our mouth? Are we going to use words that do nothing to help other people? Are we going to name call, use words that, you know, there are better ways to say what you're thinking than to just blurt it out? You know, that's what I think of when it says that the foolish person just blurts out things. Just like, these are sloppy words that we just say to express something we could totally express if we just took like 5 seconds to be silent before we say them and to think about how to say them. Are we going to speak words well to each other? But something that many of us struggle with is speaking words well in our minds. So I just want to take a few minutes to talk about that. I think we all get the damaging effect that our words can have on other people. We see that probably, you know, 5 times this past week in our personal lives, and then we can see it all over the world, right? But what we might miss out on if we didn't take the moment to think about it is the words that we think in our heads are the words that come out of our mouth eventually. Now, we use the word head, but Jesus uses the word heart, and so does most of the Old Testament. Jesus says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That basically, your heart, the person who you are on the inside, whatever's in there will eventually come spilling out of your mouth. And if what's in your heart is wisdom, it instructs your mouth, says Proverbs, and it adds learning to what you say. It heals, it helps, it gives people access to the tree of life. But if you're in your heart, the person you are on the inside is filled with condemnation, gossip, hatred, anger, even just a false perspective on life, that is what will influence the words that come out of your mouth. It's not just enough for us to commit to a 10-second pause, count to 10, before we say anything. We have to address the issue of the words that are in our hearts. If you want to influence the words that are in your heart, you must hear the words of God and exchange the filthy, untrue words that you think about others and think about yourself inside of you with the words that God says in his word he has in store for you. We have to begin to understand that words are not just what we text or post or say to one another, but also words that we think. Are we thinking a way that leads to life, a way of healing? When we get prepped for a verbal conflict, are the words that we begin to prepare ourselves to say, are they healing? Like the argument we all have in the shower with somebody that it's really ticked us off, are the words that we think, are they going to be the kind that heal? Some people teach that it's a great idea to just blurt out all your stuff and vent to people. And I'm not saying you can't do that without sinning. But I do think it would be more helpful for our hearts than thus our mouths if we began to confront ourselves before we confronted other people. If we would say, okay, I can't have this conversation with this person because the only things I can think are harmful words to say, then to teach yourself how to think about that situation in a way that provides healing. That doesn't mean that we neglect the truth. It doesn't mean that we say, oh, you know, you're good, that didn't offend me, when it did. It doesn't mean that we say that what someone is doing is okay, even though the Word of God clearly says that it's not. But what it means is when we need to take a moment, a month, in order to take enough time to be silent and teach our hearts true words that promote healing, that we're committed to doing that instead of causing harm and burning bridges. This is hard. It's not something that our hearts want to do. Our hearts like the fact that we can put ourselves up on pedestals. Even if we never say anything to anyone else that says, like, oh, I'm better than this person, our hearts like to think that way. Our hearts like to say, like, yeah, you did something wrong, but they did something worse. They're the ones that should be coming to you. Our hearts are really good at being deceitful. But deceit leads down the path of foolishness that leads to death. And we, now, as Jesus has walked the path of wisdom for us, provided us with his Spirit so that we can walk the path of wisdom, have the opportunity to teach our hearts to think like Jesus. Jesus knew when to speak and when not to speak. He knew when he was on trial, ready to be killed, that speaking didn't matter. Nobody was going to listen anyway. And what he was going to say wouldn't change anyone's minds. It would only cause more conflict. So Jesus kept silent. Jesus knew when to speak to the Pharisees and call them out, and when not to speak to the Pharisees. When to speak a parable so that they could not understand it, but the people who loved Jesus could understand it. Jesus knew when to speak. He knew what to speak and the way in which to speak it. And sometimes that meant going and throwing tables. But I would say that that is not the norm. Jesus didn't spend 3 years going around throwing stuff and saying, you made this whole place a den of thieves. But when that word needed to be spoken, he spoke it. We need to become more and more like Jesus, full of wisdom in our hearts, so that the things that come out of our mouths or out of our fingers or out of our hands are the kinds of things that help promote learning, understanding, wisdom, so that we can provide a path to life for ourselves and for other people. Because that path has been put out in front of us as an option, and it is our duty to walk it and to invite people to walk it with us. Our words matter. They have the power to heal or to hurt. Every word, the words that are in your head, the words that you write, the words that you say, and the words that you hear, they matter. There are principles in the Bible on what you should say, when you should say it, and how you should say it. And the path of wisdom calls you to do that diligently, to promote healing and to provide life. Dear Father, we thank you for Proverbs and the great wisdom that is in it. We pray that we would learn to be people who are silent before we speak. That we don't trust that in a millisecond our hearts are pure and holy enough to just exude the truth of your word, well spoken, and not just blurting out foolishness. We pray that you would help us to gain the understanding of the truth of your word, that we can teach our hearts what you say is right and wrong, and the way that you love and care for us, about who we are and about who these people who might be causing us pain, who they are to you. And that we would learn to know when to speak which truth. To know that lying is detestable to you. And that gossip harms. And we pray that as we learn to do those two things, that the words that come out of our mouths would promote healing, as Jesus' words promoted healing for the nations. That our words would demonstrate our love for you and your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.